This morning, I got a serious message for you. Pastor shared with me last Sunday about what God had placed on his heart for us, the congregation, for the theme, so to speak, for the whole year. He's going to be ministering on the theme. I'm not going to share. I'll let him do that. But today, I know a lot of you have been asking me, you know, after I retired, I feel like I retired on time. Somebody thought I retired too early. I was 59 and 9 months old. I hadn't quite reached 60. But it was something that the Lord had placed on my heart, and he told me to keep it to myself. Why? And the reasons. And I would do my best, you know, because I just kind of talk. I'm a really easygoing guy, and I get to going, and you can get just about anything out of me. But I kept it quiet because he asked me to do it. The things that he had been sharing with me, and you might go, I don't care what God's been sharing with you, but and you know, you don't have to. I don't care if you don't care. I care what God cares about, and I care what God says to me. And I care that I do what God says. And that's what I think is the most important thing for all of us, that we care about what he thinks about us and what he tells us to do. I don't care if my wife is against it or someone close to me, pastors against me or congregational people, members or whoever. I've said things that they don't agree with what God has said to me. You know you have to do what God says. Amen. That's where your blessings come from. That's where the life that God's given you comes from. The living waters that springs up on the inside of you continue to flow. You want to stop the living waters from flowing? You want to stop the blessings of God? Just be disobedient. Just ignore God and don't do what he says. And I'm not one to do that. So I hesitated before making the step to do that because, you know, financially, you know, how are you going to live? And the Holy Spirit said to me, well, how are you living now? Isn't it under my obedience that you have this job? That I was the one that gave it to you and then promoted you so that you could have whatever finances that you do have and whatever resources that you do have in your life come because of my obedience to God. Not because I got an education, which he did provide for me, which allowed me to get into a certain place called the man's standards. But he was the one that put me, placed me there. He was the one that let people's hearts say, oh, I like that guy. Let's put him over here. Give him this paycheck. That's all God's doing. And we forget that that's what God does. We want to think it's our doing, our education, our intellect, our, you know, way that we went to school and how we studied. We want to believe that that's what it was. Oh, but God gave you all that. God gave you all that. And so when it comes time, when he says, Curtis, I want you to do this, what can I say? What can I say? Okay, oh God, I can't do that. What do I do, get fearful? I go, oh, I'm afraid of my life. He says, well, if you seek me, he will provide everything for you. So, to me, it was a step of faith. Now, to you, it might have been, oh, he's got a 401k, and he's got a pension, and he's got a blah, 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 blah. You know, you could think that. I believe it's my faith and trust in God. And that's what's going to sustain me when there's no 401k, when there's no pension, when there's who's going to sustain me? God is God. My trust and belief in him and in the word of God, his promises. And so you say, that's a dynamic, that's a shift, right? That's a shift in the way a person centers themselves or the value of a person, the way they live. It's a shift because a lot of people don't live like that. Even in our Christian households or our Christian churches, they don't live according to the faith in the Word of God. They live according to their intellect, their abilities and talents, which they got from God. But they don't think so. Those are things that they can naturally sense and can know, oh, I believe in those things. And they forget who is the one that made them like that, that gave them the influence that they have. They forget. So this message, I hope, I don't want to put condemnation on you or try to make you feel bad anyway. But I felt like God was saying Christians, the anointed ones, the Christ-like ones, are not always Christ-like. And he wants us to be Christ-like. He wants us to be like him. And until we start to think like him, we're not actually going to be like him, you know? Until we begin to realize that, okay, I need to think like God. And a lot of us are in comfortable places because of the jobs and the financial situations we're in. We're in a comfortable place. We ain't got to worry about a lot of things. So we have some time. We have time to place our faith and trust and get to understand God without any other pressures that are on us. There's some of you who are already under some pressures. Things have happened to you because the time that you had to spend with God to get some understanding and foundation under you to build that faith, you let it slip. And now the pressure's on, and you're having to struggle to have faith and trust in God for whatever he's telling you to do. And you go, oh my God, what? So I got on this because I wanted to answer the question, why did you retire? God told me to retire. He had begun to place in me a couple of messages that he was saying to me that he believed the body of Christ needed to hear. And I sat down and under the unction of the Holy Spirit, I wrote a book on what I thought it was going to be a sermon, and you probably heard me preach some of it here on the times that I've been up, but it ended up being so much that I put it in a book. Here it is. Three years. I've given one to the church, so if you want to look at it or peruse through it, if you see me after service, I can order you one. But this particular message is called The Heart After God's Heart. It's an introduction to the real message. And I said, what's the real message? And you've heard me say this, and I just say it over and over again. The real message is growing in grace. That Christians, believers of God, need to grow. The church needs to grow. They need to grow up. There are certain things that cannot take place in the realm of in the earth until the church begins to mature to their rightful place. I had a question in my heart at the beginning of this, writing this, and I was like, God, what are you concerned about? What is the issue? And a revelation hit me, and I don't want to startle you because if you may not understand what I'm saying, but I hope you get this. God's like, the only thing I'm concerned about is my word and its resulting factors that happen in the earth. You and I are a result of the word of God. The vision of God. God, that's whatever's in God's heart. You and I, the earth, everything you see is a result of his vision, his aim, his purposes, his direction. So you say, oh, so he's not concerned about me and my little old thing? Well, he is, but just think about it. He's saying his word is the one that's not going to pass away. He's saying his word is the thing that's going to be performed on you. The only sure thing that you and I can depend on is his word. So he'll look at us. Oh, I love you. Oh, come on, let me give you a hug. Oh, I sent Jesus to allow you to not have to focus on sin so much and all the things you do wrong and all the mistakes you make. Because you can go to him and get right back into a glorious state where you're listening to me and understanding my way for you. So really, it's his purposes. And he put it in a, he didn't have to do this. He didn't have to write it down for us. And just think about the people that he didn't write it down for. You think about Jesus' life when he came preaching and what all the disciples and the people that followed him at the time, they couldn't run to First John. They couldn't run to John and Matthew to, you know, and get some understanding. What he saying? What's going on? Let's read it up. They couldn't do that. Well, what was going on? He has blessed us to have this word. So I went from there, understanding that it's God's vision that wants to take place on earth. And then I went from there. I'm going to get to my sermon in a minute. I went from there to what Paul was writing about. You know, he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. What was his message to the church? If you could have it stated in a couple of words or in a sentence, do any of you know what he was trying to do when he was writing those scriptures? A lot of us may think, oh, he was just trying to let us, help us to get our things into the place and get us going and so forth. What was his messages to the church? You read it a lot. If you read it a lot, consistently enough, you find out that Paul was wanting the body of Christ to grow up. He said, you need to be spiritually mature. He wanted Christ to be fully formed. He said, I'm waiting till God, the Jesus, to be fully formed in you. Why? Because he knew that that person is the person that changes the world, that makes things happen in their life as well as the lives of others. But we got to get there. We got to get through all the muck. He was turning people who didn't have any word, didn't even have the Old Testament. He was talking to those people who were idol worshipers, who bowed down to devils and demons, worshiped them. He was trying to get something, a message through to them. Lay that all aside so that you can enter into the kingdom of God and do things the right and holy way. Now, you think about your flesh and things that you have trouble with today. And can you imagine being in the darkness that they were in and struggling with the things they were struggling with? Paul, you read the New Testament, you see him dealing with those things that those people were going through. He wanted them to grow up. So, plug for the book. The book talks about heart after God's heart. It talks about having or seeing the person that God wants you to be. I taught on, it goes through 1 Samuel. I told you all guys about 1 Samuel. It takes the whole book of 1 Samuel, verse by verse, and it gives you whatever God gave me in Revelation when I was writing it. It's some good stuff. I believe it is. There's the 30 characteristics that God gave me that the heart of David had. Remember, David was a man after God's own heart. He didn't give that title to himself. You heard me say that before. God gave him that title. Wouldn't you like to be the person that God says, oh my God, maybe she's a woman after my heart? Wouldn't you like God to say that? She didn't have to bring it up or make it up or work it up, chew it up. God says this about Samuel. He's a man after my own heart. There are 30 things that God revealed to me. I know there are probably a lot more as well. There are 30 in this book that he gave to me. I preached here. And you probably, I don't know if you remember, I preached 5 of them here one Sunday when I was asked to minister. And you're like, whoa, what was that? Also, there's a dream God gave Sherry, my wife, concerning some of the word of God, David and Goliath. And there's also a testimony in there concerning just, you know, if you look at it, there are 5 personalities in Samuel. There's Eli, who was the prophet and priest, and to Hannah, who prayed for Samuel, who then anointed 2 kings. First king was Saul, and then the king David. So those 5 personalities are in what we're talking about. And God brings out, I believe, some interesting things that we should know in preparation, having our heart ready in order to grow. Pray with me. Father, thank you for blessing us today. We thank you for your word, life, and truth in us. We ask your blessings on us as we go forward in this time and hour, Lord God. We know of a surety that you, God, have given us of your grace, your love, your ability, everything we need, Father God, in order to move forward. Help us now, Father God, to grab a hold of the revelation, the truth, Lord God, in your word. Father God, we don't want to stay in the same place as we were. We want to look back on the year that just passed, and we want to see that we have advanced in the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of heaven. We want to see that we have advanced in our understanding, Lord God, of who you are and what you've called us to do. We want to see that we've advanced in the relationships that you asked us to continue in the ones, the new ones that you asked us to build. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that we don't want to sit idle any longer. We want to move forward in understanding how it is and where it is we are in this grace walk that you give us, that you've given us. Hallelujah. Before I go any further, I remembered Pastor was preaching a wonderful message last Sunday. You guys remember what he preached on? He preached on prayer, and prayer being not just something you do every now and then, but something that we do without ceasing. The word has a commandment that we pray without ceasing. You know, we say, well, I don't know how to do that. You need the Spirit of God to do that. There's a plug for the Holy Ghost. If you haven't been baptized in the Spirit of God, you need him in order to pray without ceasing, in order to continue to pray, in order to know what to pray, in order to know how to pray, and what to pray for. You say, well, I'm just going to pray because I haven't. Well, yeah, you haven't needed, and God tells you already, I know what you need. Before you even ask, I already know. So what if he wants you to pray for a school in Mexico where a guy is going to show up with a gun? What if he has that placed a burden on your heart, but you can't get there because you got a need? What if he wants to pray for the people who are going to be under a stressful earthquake down in Guatemala? He put that in your spirit, and you're like, I don't know about them people because I have a need. We have to understand the truth of what God is saying to us about his Spirit. He takes care of our needs as we are obedient. He tells us that. If you seek him first, the kingdom of heaven, he'll supply everything you have need of. If you'll be obedient to him, he'll allow those things to come. You say, well, you're telling me to ignore things that I'm concerned about. I'm not telling you nothing. You do whatever God tells you to do. If you feel like that need's important, do that. You go and pray for whatever God says. But our minds have to be focused. God is more concerned about us, I think, now than he ever was before. So he wants us to grow. So where are you? I had the opportunity to minister some of this to Sherry's mom before she passed away. She called me to the kitchen, and she says, God told me that you had a word for me. And I said, oh, really? She said, sit on down here and tell me what he said. So I sat down and I gave her what I'm about to give you, introduction to growing in grace. And after I was done, I realized that we don't know exactly where God wants us. A lot of us don't know where we're headed. What's the outcome? What's the end goal? Where will I stand? What would I look like when I've achieved what the Bible calls me or tells me? Some of us don't have that. We can't be concerned about that. I got kids. I got to get them into school. I can pray for my grandbabies. I got to put food on the table. I got these crazy grown people that's driving me crazy, that's living in my house and doing all kinds of crazy stuff. My car broke down. I got to get a car. I got to just do all, you know, this floods you. The worries of the world flood your mind. You can't even think about what God wants you to do. We have to begin to realize God is concerned about that. And he is able to take care of every circumstance of your life. But you and I, he's done something to us. I don't know what happened to you when you got saved, but something happened to me. And I was like, what in the world is this? And, you know, we lose some of that when we're first born. We're so excited. We go, we can do everything when we're first born again. I'm telling you, since I started doing this, I've been sensing and feeling like God is going to roar and do something great any second, any minute now. Right? Oh, man, it's just wonderful to understand and know where he's taking us. So, back to Pastor Prayer, preaching on prayer last Sunday. I had a word at the end of the service, and the time ran out, and I didn't have an opportunity to give it, and so I want to give it to you now. It's not a long or lengthy word. It was something very simple. God told me to get up and tell you that you, after hearing message on prayer, he said, you have just heard the word that can change your life. Prayer is the most simple thing that we as Christians can do, talking to God. We can do it anytime. We can do it all the time. And it is the first step in you growing into what God wants you to do. And you hearing the voice of God. Prayer is that step. You say, oh, you hear prayer, and some people go, oh, I got to pray. You got to talk to God. You talk to God. You got to get on your knees and prostrate and go. That's prayer. Yeah, I mean, some people like to do that, and you can do that if you want. But you don't have to do that. In your car on your way to work, just say, Father, I thank you for today. I don't know what you have for me, but I believe that things are going to work out. And pray for your needs if you want to. You know, I need you to, you know, to raise me up and give me some joy today, whatever the case may be. While you're in the shower, taking washing off, thank God that you're cleansing my life and cleansing my heart that I can hear your voice today. Pray it within your heart. Now, I believe that you should pray out loud, but some people think that praying in your heart is fine too. You do whatever way you want. God receives it all, I believe. But you need to pray. You need to talk to him in order for him to talk to you, in order for you to get to the place where he's trying to take you. He wants you to get there. And see, and I want to get there. I want to get there. So take that word and just be encouraged to pray. You can come here to pray if you feel like, you know, sometimes you feel like you need a place, something that an important appointment, a scheduled time to come, and for some of you are like that. You have all these things on your calendar, so you can put God in there and say, pray, and come over to the church and pray. Or whatever. Go into your quiet room or quiet house and pray to God and talk to him and let him talk to you. Let him talk to you. 3 years ago, we fasted and prayed. We used to fast here. Well, we fast here on the beginning of our year, 21-day fast. We were fasting and praying, you know, and doing, you know, whatever God wanted us to do. Different people fast different ways. And at the end of that time, the Spirit of God spoke to me. It was probably 3 years ago. It was before the pandemic. God spoke to me. He said, I want you to continue to pray. I want you to just keep on coming. Just keep on coming up here at the church and just keep on praying. Keep on praying. I said, well, how long? He said, just keep on praying. Just keep on praying. Just keep on praying. Let's pray. Come on up here. Meet me up here. And I'm telling you, I met God up here, and he poured out some wisdom for me, some stuff that I received from him. He shared a lot. Oh, my God, shared so much with me. Just praying. Just coming and praying. And praying like I like to pray. I like to pray out loud. I like to pray in the spirit. You know, I'm not too big on laying prostrate on the floor. I mean, I did that a few times. But I kneel down at the chairs. I prayed in every seat in this church. So you're sitting in the chair that I prayed during that time that I prayed to God. I was just praying. What are you doing? Just praying. Just praying. Talking to God. Talking to the Creator. And he then opened up some wisdom and some scriptures for me and began to give me this message. So how long do It's 11:15 right now. Are we supposed to be already out? No? I just want me to preach? Come on. I'm going to try to give it to y'all. It's not like, and it's an introduction to the next book, which is Growing in Grace. God shared it with me. Through the Word of God, He says, I want to give you the growth levels for Christians. I've got it in the Word. I said, you do? He said, yeah. He said, you know, you get saved. What are you? You're newborn babes. He talks about newborn babes in the Scripture and what they do and how they act and what they're up against. Paul talks about that. Did you know that? I was like, oh my, newborn babes. A baby in Christ. He talks about moving from babies in Christ to the next level, which is being a child of God. Now, we're all children of God, offspring of Him. Well, we consider that our positional title. But this child is a growth level. Child mentality, child attitude is what he's talking about there. And in the Bible, I know some of you are connecting scriptures already. He talks about children. He talks about how children act and what children are supposed to do and where they are. So, you know, you can act, and this is a message sort of what I gave Miss Nancy, is you can tell where you are. What are you doing? Are you jealous all the time? Huh? Are you always picking on people and saying things you ain't supposed to say? Are you yet like mere men, which Paul calls babes in Christ? He says it. Right? I say, oh my God, it's right here. So if you continue in those things, then you'll continue to be in the bed. You know, you can look around and see people and things come out of their mouth and you're like, God, dog, I think you've been saved like 25 years. Ain't you got over that yet? No, they have not. They sat at that babe stage and they wallowed in the flesh, because that's what being a newborn baby is having to deal with all of those carnal attitudes that you had before you got saved. They think they haven't gone anywhere. You got to deal with them. You got to overcome them. Some of them are strongholds, and I talk about the strongholds of the flesh in the book. They how to get rid of them. How to, you know, the enemy just wants, he just wants to keep you there because he knows, I can't deal with you if you really come out to be what God wants you to be. So, child's attitude, child behavior, Paul talks about what those are. What's the next stage? Anybody guess? He talks about it in the Word. Remember Timothy? He said, young men, you move from a childlike stage in attitude and behavior to a young man or woman stage. We call that, if you look at the word surrounding being young in the Lord, it talks about them having fervor, having a grasp upon the Word of God. They're concerned about what God says. They are always in the Word of God. They're praying. Young men are moving in the gifts of the Spirit of God, the ministry. They love the ministry. They walk as ambassadors. They want to stand up for God, being a young man and woman of God. That leads you to the next stage, being an adult Christian, a spiritually mature adult. And Paul talks about what they are and how they're supposed to behave and respond. He said, I got to get you into that state. Well, only thing you're concerned about is what God is saying to you. You're not passing judgment. You're not listening to anything that's trying to condemn you or to take you away. You have power and authority. Well, in the young man stage, you have power and authority over the enemy. He talks about that. And you learn how to do those things. So the idea is to capture everything that you should have and know at each stage before you go to the next. And be who that example that God has given us to be. That's what he wants. That's what he wants you to grab a hold of, and he wants you to see that. He doesn't want you to be as, because we have understanding and consciousnesses and intellects and all that stuff, you know, you're a babe in Christ, and we know some babes that are like this, immediately go, I want to be spiritually mature before they get to the child stage or the young man. They want to go, I want to be like this. I want to be like a Paul, Apostle Paul, yay. And that's saying that's a great, not a great vision to have when you're starting off. You need a vision. But just understand that, okay, I got to walk through some things. I have to grow up. I want to have what Jesus says that I can have and do what Jesus says I can do. I want to be in those places. And so this book, Growing in Grace, will give you some examples from the scripture of what that is. God has a path, a journey, a calling for each of us to walk. If we are his, I believe that journey is leading us to spiritual maturity. How else can he accomplish all that he desires through us unless we are completely and thoroughly his? Paul wrote most of the epistles of the New Testament, of the Bible, and devoted most of his life determined that we all be fully formed Christ, or rather Christ be fully formed in us. Galatians 4:19. This is the aim of the Spirit of truth and the direction where the Bible, the Word of God, leads. In Ephesians 4, again, you can go ahead and turn to Ephesians 4 if you want to read with me. Paul explicitly states the purpose of God in the church. Take note of where he emphasizes growing to maturity in Ephesians 4. I got a little time. I'm not going to hold you for longer. Start at verse 11. I'm reading out of the Amplified Bible. And his gifts were varied. He himself appointed and gave men to us, some to be apostles, special messengers, some prophets, inspired preachers and expounders, some evangelists, preachers of the gospel, traveling missionaries, some pastors, shepherds of his flock, and teachers. His intention was the perfecting and the full equipping of the saints, his consecrated people, that they should do the work of ministering toward building up Christ's body, the church, that it might develop until we all attain oneness in the faith and in the comprehension of the full and accurate knowledge of the Son of God, that we might arrive at really mature manhood. You can put womanhood there. The completeness of personality, which is nothing less than the standard height of Christ's own perfection, the measure of the stature of the fullness of the Christ and the completeness found in him. Now, I know I read a lot of words, but if you pick out the words that truly matter, mature, manhood, womanhood, perfectness, Christ perfectness. He said he gave gifts to us that we could all become that. Are we there yet? Are you in that perfect place? Do you understand that perfect? How does it look? Do you understand that completeness that he wants us to attain? What verse was that? That was 13? Okay. 14. So then, we may no longer be children tossed like ships to and fro between chance gusts of teaching and wavering with every changing wind of doctrine. There's an attitude of a child, the prey of the cunning and cleverness of unscrupulous men, gamblers engaged in every shifting form of trickery and inventing errors to mislead. I'm going to say this, and you don't have to believe it, but I'm going to say it. I believe that our political era that we are in, and many times, even before then, is a misleading guide for us as Christians. It takes us, it takes our heart and our mind away from what God wants us to do. Puts it on something else. Doesn't matter who you vote for. Well, to me, it doesn't matter who you vote for and what you do or where to go through life or how you attain to it. That can take your focus away from God. And it has taken many Christians, many churches, whole churches have been diverted away because of this misleading direction that they feel like they have to do. Protesting Black Lives Matters or police whatever brutality or guns or whatever you want to put it at. All of those things mislead us. Then you say, well, I can have my focus. Well, get your focus on right. Don't be distracted. Don't be wavering back and forth. If you're going to be a child, a man of God, then be one. How do we change things? Pray. God says, because God said, if you pray, I'll do what you pray. If you believe you that I have heard you, this is 1 John, then you should know that you're going to have the answer to what you pray for. If you believe that Jesus or God has heard you in your prayer, he says, then I will do what you've asked. If we pray according to his will, he says you can have whatever you say. So we've dumped that, right? We've dumped that, okay, that's a sure way of doing things in the kingdom of God for I'm just going to go over here and I'm going to stand over here and hold my sign and go down to whatever, or I'm going to go over here to this rally and do blah, 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 blah. We've lost our focus. Child. We're acting like children. So then we may no longer be children tossed like ships to and fro between chance gusts of teaching and wavering with every changing wind of doctrine, the prey of the cunning and cleverness of unscrupulous men. If it wasn't clever, I get it, you wouldn't have believed in it. Gamblers engaged in every shifting form of trickery and inventing errors to mislead. Rather, let our lives lovingly express truth in all things, speaking truly, dealing truly, living truly, enfolded in love. Let us grow up in every way and in all things in him who is the head, even Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. And all he's saying is, let your focus be on me. Get your focus on me. Get your direction from me. Father, how am I supposed to do this? I don't know, how am I supposed to involve myself in the abortion movement, let's say? Or how am I supposed to be involved in this Black Lives Matter stuff? Or how am I supposed to vote? You ask, God is the one who's directing you and I. We get our perspectives from him, right? We don't get them from who's saying what and what they're saying, because they could lie to us. They cannot tell us the truth. They could paint a picture. You guys heard about this guy who falsified his resume to get it, be an elected official. What? I voted for him. What? That's what they can do. But if your focus is on God, come on. If you are praying and going, Father, how am I supposed to interject myself in this? And he may say, pray. That's what he says to me. Pray. I go. I see something I don't like, right? And I go to talk about it. And then the next thing, before some other words come out, some words came out. But then before some other words come out, I hear the Spirit of God say, pray. I'm walking down, God, they don't bother pray. You're like, well, they doing all this stuff, but I'm going to pray. They messing with my wife, God, pray. What? I said, well, pray. Pray. Talk to who? God, your Father, who has created everything that you see. Everything. Even those people, he's created them. I would love for every man, woman, and child to be born again and to know and understand the salvation that you and I understand. That is God's, one of God's hopes, right? That's why he sent Jesus, so that he's the savior of the whole world. We may call them enemies, but he's their savior. I may not like him. I hate him. Matter of fact, I hate him. But God loves them just as much as he loves you and me. So what do we do? Pray, mature Christian. You start doing some of that, and I'm telling you, you're headed to an adulthood in Christianity. Because Christians don't do that. They bicker and call names and call people the devil and all kinds. I was like, why would a person be that? Why would he do that? Why would he be that? Why? Because do we not understand what's happening? No, we don't, because we haven't decided that we want to grow to the place where God wants us to. I taught a message, or the Spirit of God gave me a message from Matthew 6. Pastor preached on some of it last time I heard, and we talked about good deeds. And when he gave me that message, I was like, why? He said, because we don't understand that the principles of being in a Christian life and walk is doing good. You and I finding good things to do and doing them. You and I doing acts of kindness. Random if you want to, but under the unction of the Holy Spirit. You and I giving money to people on the street. You and I praying for people on the street. How about that? You and I just doing good things. Oh, I just want to be a blessing to you, so I baked you a cake. I don't know, you know. We doing good things. Christian, that's how God wants us to act. And look at that person. We shun them. We say, oh, look, what are they doing? They not doing, they ain't worth nothing. What are they doing? I would love for this place to be full of people whose hearts are set on understanding and following what God wants them to do. Or even having the opportunity to help lead and guide by the Spirit of God. Those hearts who are stumbling under some of this stuff that the devil is putting their way. The world is waxing what? Worse and worse and worse, because it was prophesied that it would do that. As Christians, we believe in hope and faith and things going well, and we pray for that. But you got to understand what time you are in, the times you are in. That stuff is going to go on. Can we hold it back? We should hold it back. Why? Because there are people, Lord God, I read in the paper the other day, you hear about these psychedelic churches? Anybody? Oh my God. These people are taking drugs, Christian people, taking drugs so they can have an experience, because their lives are shipwrecked. And for somehow, the churches where they're attending are failing them. So they're paying money, but you have to pay to go to this church. Oh yeah. I think it's like, the one I was reading said $900 a weekend. They give you a drug. A shaman comes out shaking some bushes and some bells. These people are throwing up, vomiting, and falling on the ground because they have no hope. And what are we doing? I'm worried that I won't be able to pay my bills next week. So I got to go to work. Yeah, you gotta go. But that don't mean you can't pray. Because them people need some help. Oh my God. I mean, God has, he's told me this many years ago. He's gonna get worse, worse, worse. So he said, you're gonna wake up and you're gonna see some things or hear some things and you're gonna go, my God. And I was like, what in the world? He said, yeah, that's the world. That's exactly what it is, and I've asked you to pray. Get your head out of the sand. Lift it up and be who God wants you to be. Be determined. I'm not staying here. I'm not staying in this state. I'm not going to let things bother me. And let me talk to husbands and wives for a moment. So, you know, your wife and your spouse is probably the closest person to you, right? And so you interact with them more than you interact with anybody, right? So there are things that they're going to do that can irritate the heck out of you, right? They're going to say some things that's going to get under your cuff. Boy, you're going to go, Lord, have mercy, why'd you give me that woman? Or where'd you get that man from? But how does the spiritual Christian behave? What's he do? Come on. God, dog. And then one more thing. God taught me this, and I need to share this with you before we close. I don't want to keep it long. Don't worry about it. Pastor, give me another time. So, Sherry got another job at in Roanoke. She works for a nursing home. And she believed that God told her to take this job. That's why she took it. She goes there, and she starts learning the job and interacts with the people, and God says, you're here for this person. It was her supervisor. And so, you know, she's very calm. And they start to do whatever. And then it seems like the devil just don't like Sherry. That's what I think. He don't like her. He don't like none of us. But they were doing all sorts of things to her. And I was like, they were blaming. She just started work. There was, 3 or 4 months. They didn't have anybody in their position, right? So they're going to blame all the things that happened on her. She's looking at them like, what is going on? You know, and as her husband and being in a place where I just kind of hear what she's saying. You know, she comes home, she's distressed, and she has a long commute. She prays 25, 30 minutes from Roanoke to home, and on the way and back. So she gets home. Sometimes she still needs to pray. So I hear it, and it just gets under my, it just kind of gets right up. You want to run over there and just knock them upside the head, right? And so I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, why isn't she defending herself, right? Because I'm like, I'll be like, no, I didn't do that. What are you talking about? You better get on out of here. I'll be talking to her. I know how to respond. She wasn't doing any of that. I know she has that in her, but she wasn't doing anything. I said, God, what is it? So I was praying one evening, and I said, God, I want to help her now. I was praying for her and stuff like that. And the Spirit of God said this. She's praying, and I've told her to be silent. And I said, you told her not to say anything? He said, I told her not to say anything. I said, why you say that? He said, because vengeance is mine, said the Lord. Don't fight your own battles. You be silent, and I'll fight for her. That was, 10 months ago? All those people are gone. Do you hear me? They don't have the job anymore. They have other jobs. They're not around Sherry long. Her supervisor is born again Christian, and they are in there praying and shouting for each other. She thought she was going to leave because the girl that she was there for, I mean, she ministered to this one lady that was supervisor that was really bad. She was in a bad place. But she moved on, and God gave her this other lady, but Sherry thought she was going to leave because the place was just so ugh. You know, I don't know if you ever had worked in a place that's just, ugh. Have you? Anybody had a place like that? Anyway, so she thought she was going to leave, but God sent another person. And he said, I want you to minister to her. I want you to be there for this person. And I'm telling you, God, he just opened up a place for her because she was obedient and didn't do what her husband said to do. She prayed. You say, well, okay, all right, so that's great. So what are we supposed to do? I'm telling you what you're supposed to do. I want you, through hearing this, I want you to to get it under your skin, or get it in your heart, or get it somewhere that I want to grow. I want to move to the place where God wants me to go to. I want to get to that next place that God wants me to, not where I want. You know, because I can see some places where some people would say, you're going to be doing what? If you had told Sherry she would be doing what she's doing today, she would have told you, I won't be doing that. I won't be praying for people at work. I won't be doing that. What are you talking about? Pray? What? Out loud? You know, even giving a person a hug in a public place? She would have told you, no, I ain't going to be doing that. If you told me that I'd be standing up here talking to you, I would say, I ain't be doing that. I'll be over there. I'd be over there. So we know we need to grow. I just want you to get it in your heart. God, get me to the place. Because some of us need to skip some places, skip some things. Because you've been in the Word so long and you just stayed in it, you hadn't done anything. The Word of God wants to change you. Change you into the person God wants you to be. And there is nothing, no energy, no power, no nothing that can stop the power of God from doing in your life what he wants to do. But you. You are the only one. And you say, well, will it take? Yeah, it's going to take a little bit of time for you. I mean, you're not going to get there overnight. But we're here. We're living. And this is what God has called us to do. Let's keep on living, right? Let's look back over last year and go, I'm not like that anymore. At least have I taken a step closer to God? Have I come to a place where I understand him a little bit more for my life and what he wants me to do? This is, you know, I do it all the time. The first of the year, I say, God, I look back and I say, how far have I come? What's happened? What's taking place? Did I get any revelation? Did I get any wisdom? I always write mine down. Do you get any wisdom from God? Did you get, what happened? Was there some kind of thing that went on? Yes. Let's move forward. Let's not sit still. I'm reading a book. I'm almost done. I'm reading a book by a general of God, they called him. His name was Smith Wigglesworth. Anybody know? I've heard of Smith Wigglesworth. They called him an apostle of faith. This brother lived in our time. He died in 1989, I think. He raised 21 people from the dead. He didn't raise, God raised, used him to raise 21 people from the dead. Countless miracles. I mean, legs growing out, people getting out of wheelchairs, all kinds of stuff happening. You know, pastor jokes because he remembers the time when he was ministering to people in a line and this guy came up with a big stomach. And God said, punch him in the stomach. This is how obedient this man was. He punched him in the stomach and the belly went poof. He lived in our time. You want to do greater things than Jesus did? Jesus said we could do greater things you do than he did. Come on, y'all. He said, I don't want to do that. Well, you know, of course he didn't see himself doing that when he started. Matter of fact, he couldn't even read when he got saved. He couldn't read. God had to teach him how to read. His wife had to teach him. Well, God used her to teach him. I thought that was like, what? He knew how to read? And he didn't start his ministry really until he was 48 years old. Isn't that interesting? Some of us I know are a little older than that. But God can still use us too. What am I getting at? I said this to myself. I said, I want to be as spiritually mature as someone who is able to do those things that God has designed for me. And signs and wonders and healings and miracles take place to wear the Spirit of God like a suit. Because a lot of us have the infilling of the Holy Spirit, but we're not baptized into the Holy Spirit. Why? Why? Because that's what he said. That's the vision. That's the place where we're going. Why you want to go there? Because he said I can go? Because he said that's what I want to, that's what I'm growing up. That's what the Word of God is going to produce. When it says it's not going to, you know, it's not going to return to him void, that's what the Word of God is producing. But we got to get it on our radar, all right? We got to get it on our focus. That's what's happening. I was reminded of one of my best friends who goes over at another church. he was ministering, and he gave a testimony of something that happened to him while he was at work. He's retired now. And he had said he told me, but as I listened to him, I was like, he didn't tell me that. he had gone to work. I'm going to tell his testimony. He had gone to work, and he was just, you know, how people just go to work and we see people. He saw this guy, and he looked kind of down, and one of his coworkers, and he asked, is everything okay? And the guy said, no, you know, I've been to the doctor, and I'm scheduled to go into surgery tomorrow. And he said, well, yeah. He said, what's up? And the guy told him that they have seen a hole in his spine, and he was going to surgery to close up the hole. And so he was concerned about the surgery. So my friend said, well, come on over here. And they went into a room that they thought was secluded and that nobody cares, in another office where he worked. And my friend told me, he said, he wasn't intending to lay hands on him or to pray in the spirit, you know, because this guy was unsaved, right? So he wasn't intending to do any of that when he went in there. But when he went in there, the Holy Spirit said different. He laid his hands on him, and he prayed in the spirit. And, you know, he asked God for healing and so forth. And he noticed that the guy was trembling while he had his hands on him. He could feel him, touch him. And then, so when he took his hands off of him, the guy said to him, he said, what was that light coming out of your hands? And you know, my friend looked at him and went, well, I ain't seen no light. This guy saw some light, right? And I was like, ooh. And he said, and who was that guy standing behind you? Who was that guy? And, you know, he looked around. He's like, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? Guy goes, next day, goes to the doctor. Doctor says, I'm going to take one more x-ray before you go into surgery. He comes running back into the room. He's got both x-rays. He shows the one that has the hole in the spine and the one that does not. He said, we don't need to do any surgery today. This guy was healed, right? He goes home and tells his wife. His wife is all excited. They say, he needs to come over. He needs to come. He comes over there. She gets saved. Children get saved. The brother-in-law, they get saved. The host of them. Because of one person just saying, what? Let me pray for you. Not intending. He said, I ain't think about no healing. I'll kind of, you know, we're programmed to pray and just believe God is gone. And that's good. But this is what happened. So let's take it one more thing happened after that. They didn't think anybody heard them praying. But there was a guy, two guys, in the next room having lunch. They overheard what was going on. And when they heard that this guy got healed, one of the guys came up to him and said, hey, you need to come to my house. I want you to pray for me. His mother-in-law had cancer. Well, she had cancer because when he went over and prayed for her, she was healed of the cancer. Then he said, I want you to go upstairs. And this is the interesting thing, you know, because we just don't, our minds just is not ready sometimes, you know, and we get caught up and we don't know what the Spirit wants to say to us. But those things happen because of prayer. He goes upstairs. The guy opens the door. He said, I want you to pray for my sister. Now, I'll just tell you what happened. Because I think it's fascinating because we don't know that people live like this and that we have the authority and power to help them out of situations that they're in. And I don't do that. I can't do that. Well, grow. Grow to the place where you have confidence. Grow to the place where you have at least understanding of the staring that's in your heart and the unction that God gives you. Oh, just go lay your hands on them. Sometimes he don't want you to pray. Just lay your hands on them. Touch them. You got to be growing in grace for those things to happen. Anyway, he went upstairs. He said, I want you to see my sister. And he opened the door, and there is a cage 3 feet off the floor, the bars up to the ceiling, and there's a woman inside this cage, and she has a two-year-old mentality. She's 30-something years old, right? And what happened was, when she was born, she got a high fever and of 105 and had it for an extended time, and it just made her into a vegetable. And so she was there. My friend, you know, this is where growth comes in. He flipped out. He prayed, but he was flipped out. He said, crap, I couldn't concentrate. Because he never seen anything like that. Have you ever seen anything like that? I ain't never seen anything like that. You know, how do you get to a place where you, the uncle, I know that Smith Wigglesworth encountered someone like that. And where your spirit man is strong, and you're strong enough to be able to say, in the name of Jesus, come out of her. That's what, you said, is that where we're going? I hope we're going to turn Blacksburg upside down. I hope every last one of you get a hold of this message and starts to grow to the point where you're saying, let me just pray for you. Just let me pray for you. You know, don't even touch them. Just let me pray for you. And God starts to do things because people are living in some dire situations. You know, think about yourself. They're worse off than you. They don't have Jesus. They don't have him to comfort, they don't have to go to, they don't have a congregation like this to love on them, to call, you know, to call Linda and ask for prayer, to ask her to do something for you. They don't have that. And we sit around and not want to give them the power that's on the inside of us because of what he has done for us. We need to grow. We need to grow up. So the book, Introduction to Growing in Grace, prepare your heart. That's what God wants, a heart after his heart. If you want one, come see me after the service. but we're going to be focused on this. I hope Pastor gives me another opportunity to minister some more. But the vision, here is the end result. And what I got out of this teaching of growing in grace as I went through the new babes, child, young adult, spiritual maturity, adult, I got to the manifestation of the sons of God. God talks about sons of God that he has or wanted to. He says the whole earth is what? Groaning and yearning for what? For the manifestation of the sons of God. These guys don't care about anything on the earth. They only care about God. And what he has said to them and what he wants them to do. These guys understand that their flesh body is the only thing that keeps them in the earth. Do they want to be here? I don't know if they want to be. They want to probably be with God. Paul says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We want to enter into our eternal life. Our eternal citizenship, our permanent place of residence is with God, not here on earth. This is not our permanent home. This is a little far out for y'all, I know. You don't have to take this, but I went down this road because I think some people wanted to know. What is that? What is the thing I'm looking at? I'm looking at being a son of God on earth. So complete authority, complete control of all his faculty. He can be sick, don't matter. He gonna live till God says it's time to go. He can be broke down, it don't matter. That son of God is going to produce what God says he needs him to produce. Do you understand? He's going to, you know, because Smith Wigglesworth, he countless numbers of healings and things that happened to him, and he got sick. You would think if he was healing people, he wouldn't get sick, right? He got the anointing on him. He shouldn't be getting sick. He was sick. But what did he do? God taught. He prayed. He kept right on. God, you know, this little stuff that we're bothered by all this little stuff. When God is like, come on, y'all, I'm better than that. I'm bigger than that. Come on, get up on you. Some of you are like, I don't want to do that. I'm not interested. Don't be interested in what God wants you to do. That's all right. I can't make you. Only the Holy Spirit can. I hope through this message it has pricked your heart a little and given you some insight and a desire dig into the Word of God. Where am I now? I hope you're disgusted with where your Christian walk is right now. I hope you're looking at yourself and going, "My God, I got to get out of this place." I'm just telling you that because that's where I was. I got to get out of this. Oh, my God. I don't like where I was. I don't like that place. I didn't like that place. Well, I was a Christian. I was doing praise work. I was doing stuff. I don't like that place. I need to get some understanding under my belt so that I can start moving and doing what God wants me to do. Amen?